Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. On the broadcast today, Brian Wachter, Paul Moradkin, and Alex Goff. It's an all-pundit show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit program going today with Brian Wachter. He is Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. Alex Goff is a Democratic National Committeeman. And Paul Moradkin is Senior Vice President of Government Relations for the Vegas Chamber. Pleasure to have you all here. Alex, I want to start out with you. The Reno Gazette Journal last night, as we are taping this, dropped a story written by Anjanette Damon, the headline of which, blockchain CEO and wife face sexual harassment lawsuit from former Lake Tahoe area nanny. This does not sound like a good thing for innovation zones.
No, it doesn't. And it's, you know, I felt that, you know, I watch your show regularly, Sam, as you know. And one of the things you like to say is that if you want something done, you can certainly go to Story County and get it done. But it seems like everything but residential. And a component to the innovation zones was going to be residential. And so I have to say that I hope that part of the conversation continues to go, is because, you know, my wife's an employer in Reno, and one of the things that she considers when thinking about wages for people coming to work for her is, you know, how is this going to relate compared to what the rents or what the, you know, mortgages are going to be in Reno, because, you know, they continue to go up. And so I hope that, you know, if anything comes out of the innovation zones, at least it's a conversation about what Story County can provide as far as ensuring we have the infrastructure to be able to build up the residential supply that we need to continue to have our community growing, because I think it's going to set us back eventually.
No argument there, but do you think that this lawsuit is going to affect the governor's position or the legislature's position on innovation zones when the person who runs the company, whether it's true or not, because it's an accusation, it's not a guilty, but in the Me Too era, what do you think?
You know, I think that the timing of the legislature certainly is going to educate that as well, right? I mean, there's not a lot of time to get these things done. There's not been a bill presented yet. And so I think that those constraints may allow people to kind of walk away from this and maybe revisit it at a later time.
James DeHaven had a piece, Brian, also came out in the last 24 hours on blockchains and the amount of contributions, et cetera, that they have made. It just seems that, you know, there are a lot of legislators, according to his story, that don't understand what the blockchain's technology is all about. And they feel that until they understand it, they're not going to be voting in favor of that. Somebody else who had that kind of line was Warren Buffett. When he talked about technology, was if he didn't understand it, he wasn't going to invest in it. What are your thoughts on where this potential is? Because it's not even dropped yet.
Well, I think that's the point, Sam. And I think to Alex's comment, I think this is what happens when you have a vacuum of information. We don't have a bill. We're already past the halfway point. Friday's the deadline to be able to get bills out of the first house. And things like this, especially things that are as complex, things that are as extraordinary as perhaps creating an own government, giving that to a private corporation and expecting that to work, that needs proper vetting. That's a 120-day conversation. That's a bill that you introduce in February and you start walking and educating folks through those bills and through the issues and through the complexity so that they begin to understand it, so you don't end up on day 64 with news stories trying to fill in the gaps or conversations about what legislators feel comfortable with or they don't. The public's not engaged in that conversation because it has yet to be a public conversation. So I think until we actually can sit down, understand the details, get a thorough vetting, I think you're gonna find that these kinds of stories are filling that gap, and I think legislators are gonna be more and more confused and a little frustrated at that process.
Paul, I know that you don't have a comment on this particular issue, but just where we are in the session at this point and the changes that have been made in the order, deadlines just thrown out the door. Now we have a deadline coming up this week. Will that deadline even hold?
Sure. I mean, our hope is that, that deadline will hold. I mean, the conversations we've heard and the chatter we've heard, from the virtual building is that deadline will hold. Those deadlines are always important in the process. So we're hopeful that they will hold to the deadline for Friday.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back much more on Nevada Newsmakers on this All Pundit show with a great lineup right after this timeout.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your furnace breaks down today? We fix it today. Why freeze for days while your furnace is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get warm again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 and we'll fix it today. That's 323-5585 or online at nevadaheating.com.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show going with a great lineup. Paul Muradkin with the Vegas Chamber, Alex Goff, the Democratic National Committeeman, and Brian Wachter, Senior Vice President of Public Affairs and Government Relations for the Retail Association of Nevada. So, Paul, let me start with you on this. We've already seen, according to State Senator Scott Hammond, about $18 billion pouring into the state of Nevada, now looking at a potential of another $2 to $3 billion coming in. What are your thoughts on, you know, how this should be organized. Should this be money for ongoing programs, or should this just be money for one shots? What's the view of the chamber on this?
Sure, no, and I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of dialogue talking about the money that will come from the American Relief Rescue Plan Act. And the reality is, our understanding, it's going to be one-shot money, but a lot of that's going to depend on the Treasury guidance, how that money will be able to be spent by the states and local governments. The Chamber's perspective is whatever those dollars are spent on needs to be transparent and needs to be accountability measures, support those areas that are the Nevadans are in need of. So that's kind of our general perspective right now until we get the Treasury guidance.
And the other part, if I may just throw another one at you, is in the potential infrastructure bill, it looks like one of the big deals for the Las Vegas Chamber could actually become a reality if that money comes through, which would be building I-11 between Phoenix and Las Vegas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been a longstanding priority for the organization since 2011, when it was designated MAP 21 underneath the Obama administration. We've worked, of course, closely with the Nevada delegation over the years, have reached out with our counterparts in Arizona and their business community. They're also working on their portion of I-11. So we're hopeful that this will be an important step to the construction, further construction of I-11 between Arizona and Nevada.
So, Brian, what are your hopes for this money coming in and your fears?
Well, I think the Retail Association is very concerned about making sure that we are not setting ourselves up for an even bigger fiscal cliff coming into the 23 legislative session. And so I think we would certainly be looking at investments that we could make that would be more one-shot nature, that are things that maybe the state has been putting off. As you know, Sam...
For example?
IT infrastructure is something. Our computer systems in the different executive agencies don't speak to each other. They don't speak to the local governments. And so when you are attempting to start a business, there's not an ability to be able to kind of consolidate that or to have the tax department talk to Dieter, who can then turn around and talk to the Secretary of State's office. And that's all because our IT systems have been built kind of in this hodgepodge infrastructure. And the legislature's made some strides in fixing that, but a lot of times if the choice is between IT infrastructure and classroom teachers, the legislature's gonna choose classroom teachers. And so this might be an instance where we can make government a little bit more efficient with some of these dollars. I also think it would be very important that the legislature consider refilling some of the trust fund with some of these dollars on the unemployment trust fund. We have a lot of businesses that are going to have to be trying to rehire employees, that are trying not to go under at the moment. And so I think if, you know, the state made an allocation from these dollars to the unemployment trust fund, that would at least pay off the federal loan and would allow businesses to enter this new recovery period with a little bit more stability and the ability to predict what the unemployment rates might do.
One of the things that surprised me was when the initial application from Dieter for funding from the state for their computer systems, it was only for about half of what they really needed. And it seems to me that in this modern era, that's where you want to put your funding, is get the computer systems in place that are going to last you the next 5 to 7 years.
I think there's certainly an argument to be made about what kind of investments, and do you have to spend less money, you know, managing and bringing those systems up to date and fixing bugs, as opposed to maybe investing in a newer one. And that's just, you know, one example, Sam, of some things we could do. We could build schools. We have a problem with overcrowding in Clark County, even Washoe County. And yes, there are some bond issues, but sometimes these schools are $100 million investments, and we have the ability to look at some of those investments now. And so we should consider ways that those investments can lower class sizes for everybody, relieve, you know, teacher morale problems. And so those are the kind of investments that we should be looking at. And I think instead what we saw from the Interim Finance Committee last week was an attempt to, you know, replace state workers, use this money for salaries, and to be able to, I think, continue ongoing expenses. And so I think that's just going to set us up for that fiscal cliff when these stimulus dollars are gone, as to how is Nevada going to not only fund, you know, the deficit that we have in our actual budget, but fund some of the programs that we've been funding with these stimulus dollars.
Okay, Alex, why don't you respond to some of the stuff that Brian's just laid out there?
I think that both Paul and Brian laid out very excellent uses of, you know, the funding as well. You know, and I did see some of maybe alleviating maybe a furlough day for some of the state employees. State employees certainly have been asked to go through a lot, like a lot of our residents and citizens have, and so that may be a good use as well. I think a lot of the figures, you know, like I heard the interview with Senator Hamm, and he threw out the $18 billion figure, but that gets distributed through local governments or school boards as well. And local governments have historically been underfunded in the state of Nevada because of our property tax system. So this is a real opportunity for local governments to invest in infrastructure needs as well. There's computer systems or technologies that local governments can utilize, especially in Washoe County, City of Reno. Very excited about the fact that the Recovery Act got down to the local level as well.
Paul, what are your concerns about oversight for this?
I think anytime you bring dollars into the state, better, you know, one-shot money or and so forth, you want to ensure those dollars are going to be spent in a reasonable manner. To Brian's point, there are a lot of needs out there from employers and from residents. And anytime you have an infusion of large amount of cash, you want to ensure that there's accountability measures that Nevadans and other taxpayer dollars are spent in an appropriate manner. I mean, this is a longstanding position of the organization.
Brian, one of the things that was interesting, and again, we're talking about a bill that has not been launched yet, but the discussion of what should be in it, is infrastructure seems to have taken on a much wider description than just roads and bridges and airports, things like that. Does that concern you?
You know, it doesn't, Sam. I think, you know, going into debt nationally is maybe perhaps not the worst thing, as long as that investment is actually going to something that is going to bring economic activity, going to bring value. And so when we expand infrastructure beyond, I think, just bridges and roads, and we get into broadband, I think those are important. We still have so many residents in rural Nevada, and even in our low-income communities and our urban areas, that don't have access to broadband, and that infrastructure is not there. And I think we saw when Nevada went home and we tried to put all of our kids on distance learning and we were all remote working, that our consumer broadband isn't maybe perhaps up to par to be able to answer those kind of needs that we might have going forward. And so I think there certainly is a conversation that needs to be had. I think the conversation should be a little bit less one-sided, but I do believe that we ought to have an in-depth look into what infrastructure means in this new century.
I was going to say, you know, I like some of the conversations that's been expanded into childcare and long-term home health services. I think that's important as we think about our parents and our grandparents starting to age and make sure that they're taken care of. That way, so as a worker, I'm able to still go to work and still do what I need to do, especially with childcare in this country. I mean, childcare is so inaccessible, and we've seen through the pandemic the amount of people that have lost their jobs, primarily women. And so this will allow women to get back into the workforce in a full way. And I think that the Biden administration is really creating an opportunity to have a really strong conversation about what does infrastructure mean in 2021. It doesn't just mean bridges, roads, and information technology infrastructure, Wi-Fi, broadband, because not only on the school side now that's so important, but the healthcare side, but also, you know, the business and commerce side. You know, if you're not connected to the internet, you can't really engage in the business and commerce. So,
and Paul, we are so far behind other countries in terms of things like 5G. Other countries are way ahead of us with that. So it seems to me that certainly an investment there would be terrific.
You know, absolutely. I mean, I think to Brian's point, I mean, infrastructure definition has definitely expanded in the last several decades, and investment into broadband and 5G are definitely the way for us to go to better connect with folks, education efforts, remote working, all those will complement those efforts.
Brian, so this is something that I find very interesting. I don't know how long as a society we're going to be working from home, because it seems to me that we need social interaction. We are social animals, and that as much as there's conversation about how great this is that people are working from home, we're not going to need office space and all this, I think over a relatively short period of time, companies are going to want people to go back to the office.
Well, I don't think going back to the office is going to be a thing. I think there's going to be going back to work, and I think that's going to look differently. I do think you're going to have people who are going into buildings, into office. I think we may see that schedules become a little bit more flexible. You know, perhaps you can be in for a staff meeting, you can be in for what you need to be in, and then you can work remotely in the afternoon. And I think this is something that Americans have been a little bit far behind in the country, is really establishing that work-life balance and being able to operate your schedule how you need to be. And so I think we hopefully will see kind of an individualized approach to how I can get my work done, how I can be productive for my employers. And I think if that means, you know, at certain points you're in, that's great. And if not, then we've realized that a lot of this work can be done remotely. And I think we're in for a bit of a transition period until people start to figure out. But I still think there are a lot of folks that, you know, perhaps enjoyed working from home, and that allowed them to maybe be more active with their family or be more active with their kids. And for situations where that worked, I think companies ought to explore how to keeping those employees at your company is to provide some of those options.
You know, from a social point of view, that's an interesting revolution.
Yeah, thank you for asking, because I mean, I think from a connector perspective, I really miss out on going to meetings and running into people and having those side conversations. You know, I do appreciate the fact that living in Reno, you're not always having to fly to Vegas for meetings and such. That's a nice new trend I would like to see continue. But certainly, you know, when you go to a meeting and then you run into someone else and have the opportunity to just catch up with people. I was commenting to my wife the other day about how many people I've not had the opportunity just to run into and have conversations with, and how that's really lacking, even though the access and the ability to attend meetings is a lot more efficient in this current day. But I read the news that I think Google's expecting to have their employees come back to work. I think there's a certain amount of creativity you kind of lose as well when you're working remotely as compared to when you're working together and you're able to trade ideas. I think that you know, every business kind of loses a little something, but you know, there's certainly a lot made up by being able to work remotely as well. So it's about finding that right balance.
Paul, there was an interesting comment made a couple of months ago by the head of United Airlines when asked about whether people were going to be going back to conventions and meetings. And he said the first time that two salespeople are competing for a sale, and the one that goes there in person gets the sale, and the person who did the interview by Zoom doesn't, that you're going to see everybody going to the meeting. Is that a place you would agree?
I think, you know, obviously for Vegas, and of course, you know, the large tourism industry we have in the convention business, I mean, I think we're having to think a little differently how we retain business. I think the LVCVA is launching a pretty aggressive marketing campaign to let folks know that we are a safe destination for convention tourism. And I think that's going to impact a lot of that. It's like, you know, do people feel safe to come to your city? And I think Las Vegas has shown that it can do conventions well, it can do them safely, and have some of the most stringent protocols in the country. So we're ambitious about, and what we'll see in the next few months about conventions coming back to Las Vegas.
All right, we'll take another break and we'll be right back.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brian Wachter, Paul Maradkin, and Alex Goff. I'm going to go to you, Alex. John Lee, mayor of North Las Vegas, announced that he is going to change from being a Democrat to being a Republican. An interesting choice, do you think?
You know, his social media video ended with him saying, "Make America Great Again." And I tell you, I was looking at the assembly level results from the presidential election, how poorly Trump did. He only won Lisa Krasner's district by 2 points. That's a district that the assemblywoman wins easily. We can't even field a candidate out there. He lost Assemblywoman Jill Toll's district by 2 points to Joe Biden. Assemblywoman Toll's wins comfortably in that district. And so you look at Washoe County, which is the swing district that has rejected Trump now 2 cycles in a row. And for John Lee to think that going that route, going the Trump route, I'm certainly think that it didn't excite Republicans either, who know what the results are and how poorly he performed. And if you're Congressman Amaday, I think that has to be your pitch, is that, hey, I win Washoe County. I win in these assembly districts like Assemblywoman Krasner's and Assemblywoman Toll's, where you have to win if you're going to win Washoe County and ultimately give you a shot at winning the state. And so, you know, the mayor has certainly flirted with this in the past. You can go back and read media reports. But the fact that he would embrace Trump so strongly, I found interesting.
Paul, you have a comment?
You know, it's his personal decision. You know, we work well with the mayor at the city of North Las Vegas. So, you know, that's his decision. We will respect whatever party affiliation he wants to go with.
And Brian, you get the last word.
We are going through a fundamental shift on what it means to be a Republican and what it means to be a Democrat. And I think we'll find that Mayor Lee is probably the first, but not the last, of people who are re-looking at what it means and what party affiliation they choose to belong to.
You know, you come out with this incredibly thoughtful comment at the very end of the show where I could ask you 20 more questions to follow up. So come back, all of you. Thank you all very much. Terrific show. And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Finish. Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
We'll see you on the next broadcast, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. See you then.